Hi, thanks ever so much for joining us today, Helen. As you know, we're discussing employee engagement mm-hmm. and what that means. Today, I'm really interested to dive deeper into the subject to understand why people wouldn't be engaged, mm-hmm. what organisations can do to address that. I'd also love to explore the responsibility both on the on behalf of the organisation and the employee. Mm-hmm. And then I'd love to end with your top tip that people can take away today to really help them drive engagement in their organisations. But before we do all of that, I'd love to have you introduce yourself, please.
So my name's Helen Tupper. I'm the co-founder of a business called Amazing If. And Amazing If has been set up to help people develop the skills to succeed in a squiggly career. And a squiggly career is one that the majority of us now find ourselves in. It's where there's lots more change, both in your company and outside of your company. There's also a lot more freedom to develop in your career, but you need a set of skills so that that feels a really positive thing and not a kind of a challenging and difficult thing.
Okay, before we dive into it, could you give us your own definition of what employee engagement means to you?
Yeah, it's... I think it's quite simple to articulate, quite hard to achieve. So I think for me, it is about people being able to bring their best selves to work and do their best work at work, which kind of sounds a bit flippant, but that's quite hard to do. So for them to bring their best self to work, they've got to be able to be authentic and show up with their own values. And for them to be able to do their best work at work, they've got to know what they're good at for a start, and they've got to be able to look at how that creates the most value for a company.
Okay. So with that in mind then, would it be fair to say that, you know, everybody wouldn't be happy in the same career, and it really stems from what it is that motivates them as individuals as to whether they can achieve engagement?
Yeah, I think what's really true is that because careers in that staircase kind of world that we used to live in careers, people almost were categorised by the job that they did, and there was a path, you know, you'd do the junior version of it and the senior version of it, and then you'd be the manager. But because people's expectations of work have changed and they've actually got a lot more options now in terms of how they work and where they work, we need a much more individual way of managing people's careers and for them to feel fulfilled at work. So it's got a lot more complicated actually for companies to manage to keep their employees engaged in the work that they do.
Okay, that's a brilliant point when you talk about people going from juniors, you know, all the way through up to managers.
Yeah.
And I'm always intrigued, actually, because we do still see quite a lot of organisations that have that career path. You know, you come in as an intern, you progress through the ranks and ultimately end up as a manager.
Yeah.
But do all employees make good managers?
No. I know quite a few people that are great managers, and I know some people that haven't been so great managers. And I think... also, not all employees want to be managers. So this vision of a career that's really linear in fashion isn't rewarding for people. Actually, you see a lot more now of people moving around horizontally, so and sort of broadening their skill set, which I think is a really valuable thing because you get to develop your strengths in different contexts. Also, we're going to be working for a really long time, so it's going to have to be a really, really long ladder if all you ever do is progress upwards. So I think, again, back to the squiggly career point, if you're open to developing and like growth mindset, then actually there's lots more opportunities for you that aren't just vertical. There's horizontal opportunities for you to develop. And even going back to something you've done before, you might be able to learn something new in a role or a field that you've done previously.
Even if we just look at my career at Microsoft, I think I'm in my fifth or sixth role where I've jumped horizontally as opposed to, you know, stepping up from a senior perspective. And each role presents new challenges and new opportunities to learn. And for me, that's something that's really exciting. So thank you for landing that point. If we then think about organisations that perhaps don't have amazing levels of engagement, How do they spot that early on? Because presumably it's one of those things that once it embeds itself, it becomes more and more difficult, I suppose, to elevate back out of that position.
Yeah, I think there are some really clear metrics for disengagement. So there's a study by Gallup that was done in 2012 that actually looked at the companies that had more engaged employees and what the benefits of that were. So, for example, they were 21% more productive, they're 22% more profitable. So I think if a company is seeing issues in productivity, it is potentially employee engagement is a potential factor of that. I think also if you've got higher than expected levels of attrition, that can be something for you to look into. So there are flags in the company that you can spot. Also, in companies also measure employee engagement, so they have different levels of pulse surveys that they will do. It will tell you if there's a problem in your business. But I think, yeah, there are some less obvious metrics that you could tie back to employee engagement, and then sometimes there are some really overt ones.
So when we're thinking about this as a subject, I find it really fascinating. I'm just trying to kind of think about all different types of employees. Do all employees want to progress though? So if we're thinking about that survey and we've talked about career development mm-hmm. and giving them the opportunity to jump from one job to the next yeah. or indeed go up the ranks, is that what everybody wants and is everybody motivated by that? Or would it be okay just to stay in the same job forever?
Yeah. Again, depends on the individual. And if I go back to my definition of employee engagement, bringing your best self to work and doing your best work at work, that definition is not, and progressing until you're as senior as you can be. That might be right for some people and they might want support in achieving that, but not everybody wants that. It's much more about having an honest conversation about what motivates and drives you, what you do well, how you can apply that here, wherever here is in terms of the company. And it's about managers having the skill set to have that conversation with people, which I think is a really important reason why you need managers who want to be managers, because that's the level of conversation they need to have.
Okay, so employees have to take a sense of ownership.
Absolutely.
But so does the manager.
Yes.
How do the two come together though? Because, you know, a manager will have their vision, their objective of what they're trying to achieve from yeah. either their role or their particular unit within the business, or perhaps they're a business owner. How does that manager transition those thoughts down to the employees and get them connected to that vision?
Well, for me, this is where you have an open and transparent relationship with the people that work for you. So as a manager myself, I'll be really clear about the vision for the team. I will help and understand where my team members want to go. But essentially, it's almost like a bit of a trade. It's sort of this is what I'm trying to achieve. This is your role in it. Do you feel that this uses your skills and your strengths? Also, where do you want to go? So I can use this to help you, but we're really clear on how you work in the team as well. So it's sort of working both ways of it.
We've talked a little bit about how employees have to be responsible for their own destiny in terms of happiness at work, to have a happy career. Mm-hmm. The manager has to be able to connect with that. And a manager presumably will have a vision, they'll understand the objectives, whether it's their own business or they're working for an organisation. How does a manager impart that to the individual and join together to, you know, walk together forwards on, mm-hmm. on that path?
I think it relies a lot on having an open relationship and a kind of almost like a sense of a fairness between the manager and their team members. So this is where hierarchy doesn't help at all, either structurally or almost culturally, because the manager, it's almost like a fair trade, I think. So the manager articulates what their vision is, how you are going to be part of that and help to achieve that vision, how it uses your strengths and your skills. And in return, they have a conversation with you about where you can go, how this is going to help you to develop. And I think it's an equitable relationship. Like, you have to work for the business and do your best work and have the best impact, but the business also has a responsibility to develop and grow you.
Brilliant points. Helen, can we talk about culture? Mm. So we've seen a lot about how, you know, different generations are thinking about their careers differently. And when we think about the children of today, I mean, that is absolutely fascinating. You know, to think that they're going to have around 40 different jobs in their career is somewhat terrifying in terms of how they're going to manage that. But also, you know, at the moment we would judge someone probably badly if we had had their CV and they had 40 different jobs on it. I'm presuming that culture is going to have a huge part in that transition. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think there's an individual bit and a cultural bit I think that's useful to talk to here. So culturally, I think this is where you recognise growth mindset. So what somebody is, I think the value of expertism. So just because you've stayed in a job for 5 years, there's some really interesting research that says actually the more expert you consider yourself, the more closed-minded you are to new ideas and new approaches. So moving around different companies and different places actually means you'll be bringing lots of different perspectives into an organisation, and that can really help with creativity, collaboration. A company, though, culturally needs to value that, and that's where you need to be hiring for growth mindset, for example. Equally, I think the individual has a responsibility to have a narrative that joins up all their squiggliness. So if they've moved from company to company and job to job, they need to be really clear on what is it they stand for, what are they great at, what value they can they add. That helps somebody make sense of all the movement that they might have had in their career.
And all of this movement leads to things like flexibility at work. Yeah. What are your thoughts? I mean, you know, if we went back 20 years, you know, people would rock up at work at 9 a.m.
yeah.
and they'd clock off at 9 and they wouldn't have a device that they took home with them. So the fact that we are always connected now is changing the way that we work. Mm. What do you think about flexibility?
I think flexibility is hugely important to employee engagement. So back in those old staircase models where one size fits all, you didn't really have to have it, but where you have a world of work where people want the freedom to do their best work, and that means maybe they work best in the morning, maybe they work best in the evening, maybe they just want to be at their desk, have no breaks, but then have a Friday off. We need to respect, as a company, we need to kind of respect how to get the best work out of people, and also to create agile work structures that do that. Unfortunately, I think what's happening at the moment is individuals' expectations of work has almost changed faster than companies have been able to keep up. So we're at this really interesting point where companies are rapidly trying to put different, you know, 3-day weeks in, 4-day weeks in, different flexible working. And I think they're finding it quite challenging.
It'd be really interesting if anyone had a crystal ball that we could see into the future to see how we'd all be, working. We were speaking to somebody the other day and we were talking about how the way that we work has changed and how sometimes we'll work in the evening and, you know, you might do 3 evenings a week, and but we wouldn't go to the cinema or go out on our bike or do something on a Monday afternoon.
Yeah.
And we should just be able to do that, shouldn't we?
Yeah, but I think it's where you get measured by your output, not the hours that you work. So I think the model, I think the 40-hour week was invented, I think it's like late 1930s, really industrial work. Lots of research was done on that was the optimum time to get work out of an industrial worker. Yeah, that's still the model that a lot of us work with, but our lifestyles have completely changed. So we're sort of measured and contracted on the hours we work, not the output that we have. And I think if you change much more to output and impact, it doesn't really matter if you take Friday afternoon off to go ride your horse or write a book. It's not about that. It's about you having the freedom, again, to do the best work in the way that works for you.
At Microsoft, we consider technology as an enabler to driving a culture change, to driving flexible work styles, but most importantly about bringing people together and supporting employee engagement. Mm-hmm. What do you think about technology?
I think technology is both a massive factor in the change of careers and also a big enabler now to how to make them work even better. So if it wasn't for the fact that we can work in different places and you know, work remotely, then these changes, we'd almost be tied to that old model. So it's a big part of where we've got to. But I really am excited about how you can collaborate across teams and you don't all have to be in the same place. I think that you can build different cultures and creativity doesn't have to be in person. I think that gives people a lot more freedom. It's fundamental to where careers, how they've got to this point and where they go from here now.
I would completely agree, and I'd like to just dive a little bit more into that if we could. So you've just mentioned about people not being in the same place at the same time. For me, video is a huge enabler to that, but it's not a cultural thing right now. People will often think, well, I can't do video because I'm at home and I'm going to be judged, or I can't do video because actually I'm taking this call in Starbucks and I'm going to be judged. What do you think about that? Because video, for me, brings the relationship together and it enables people to really build a relationship.
I think it has to be led from the top. So you have to, this is culture change, so this isn't potentially an organisation where everyone sat next to each other on a desk and then assumes that because you're not in the office, you can't have the same relationships. I think you can. I think the office just gets redefined. So you can still have virtual meetings and everyone can have the same outcomes. In fact, sometimes I think they can be a bit more efficient because you kind of might have fewer meetings and you might get to the point quicker. And I think that the office then becomes a place for collaboration, for face-to-face conversation. So I just think it depends on how you use these different resources. I know lots of teams that are entirely remote and they have very successful businesses because it's just part of how that organisation operates. So lead it from the top, set some almost principles for how we engage. And if you do come together, think about what's the best things to do when you're together.
So let's go back to the subject of employee engagement. In order to build up the blocks to employee engagement, we've talked about work style, we've talked about culture, we've talked about employees being responsible, we've talked about leaders being very open communicators, helping people to understand. What I'd really love to do is get from you your very top tip, the thing that you want people today to take away, that they should go back to their businesses. What should they do? They're going to go back today.
Yeah.
What are they going to do?
The number one thing that people can do is be really clear about how they add value. So a company wants to get the maximum value and impact out of you. That's kind of why that's why they pay for you, whether they're paying for you as a freelancer or a full-time employee or a part-time employee, that's what they want from you. And so if you can be really clear about what your strengths are and how that creates value for a company, that then gives you the ability to start to think, to sort of almost define how you do that. So I might say, I'm a great leader and I can motivate teams to do their best work. This is how I do my best work for you. And that's the conversation people need to be having. It takes a bit of confidence and it takes a bit of knowledge, but if you start with getting those things, you're far more likely to have a successful conversation with your employer about it.
And then let's get back to the point you made earlier. Mm-hmm. If everybody that's watching this can do that, their organisation is going to be, did you say 22% more profitable and 21% more productive?
Exactly that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Helen, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been great.
Pleasure.